for a public hearing on House Bill 5040. Mr. Staff Peterson.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, today is the final day of public, scheduled public hearing on House Bill 5040 for the Secretary of State's budget. And today we have scheduled the what I call the back office services. These are the offices that provide services to the other core mission functions of the agency. They are broken down into the Business Services Division, Information Systems Division, and Personal Resources Division. And again, with us, we have the Secretary of State and his division heads.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Bradbury. If you'd like to come up, and I would just tell you while you're taking a seat, it's nice to see a room of a lot of empty chairs. I'm in some hearings where a lot of agencies bring in 30 or 40 people, and you've been here every day and with a very bare minimum staff, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I appreciate that. I noticed that you don't have your piggy bank out today, so I'm assuming that I've paid my due.
You have paid your due.
You've paid your due. You're free to go ahead.
Just one item first, Madam Chair. I think you all got a copy of this. This is the election civil penalties, how we assess civil penalties. But if you didn't, I brought some more just in case.
Yeah, it was in my office.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Because
yeah.
I just wanted to...
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I find out that I'm the only person in the state that has a serious problem, so, Madam Chair. Nobody can put that much time on the road, they said, when they talked to me.
It's got a serious problem.
It's totally impossible to put 50,000 miles on an automobile in your district in 1 year.
Not in your district.
Not in your district.
Not in your adjoining district of Greg Smith, either.
One visit a month.
Mine's a pretty small district over there, being 100 miles wide and 150 long. Yours is lots bigger.
Mine's going to get bigger.
Okay.
I wanted to start by talking about the Business Services Division. As I said in my overview on Monday, basically in our agency, we do a whole series of things through some centralized services through these divisions you're going to hear from today, and it definitely makes things more efficient to have one group of people doing contracting and purchasing, not each agency, which is the way it used to, each division within the agency, which is the way it used to be, I don't know how many years ago, probably 6 or 8 years ago. Something like that. So we basically, this has been done under my predecessor, really consolidating the divisions. What the Business Services Division does is it provides the central business and accounting functions for the agency. And there's really three sections in the Business Services Division. One is accounting and budget, which includes payroll and expenditure tracking for budget implementation. There's the deposit interface, which is we have multiple sources of income to the Secretary of State's agency. And those include the front desk at corporations, for example, blue book sales, and corporate registration fees. And there's a number of different places that money comes in, and so it's important to have a deposit interface system. And the third function of the Business Services Division is in purchasing. They purchase or procure all the goods, services, print services, and contracts for all the divisions of the agency. And basically, the money for the Business Services Division is in a classic general fund, other fund split based on how much service they're providing to various parts of the agency. That's how we determine who pay, you know, how much general fund, how much other fund. If you look at the program option packages, basically package 141 is the creation of a Business Service Division position, and the reason that this position is being requested is that because as the agency updates the technology infrastructure, that really has resulted in a dramatic increase in contracting for consultants and technology resources. And the other major increase in the workload in this part of the the Business Services Division is that the Audits Division is entering into more and more auditing contracts. tracks. The auditing contracts have increased as we do more financial performance and information systems or technology audits, and they're outsourced increasingly, so that leads to an increase in workload for the Business Services Division. There's also, obviously, an increase in purchases, and as you increase purchases, you have to increase invoicing and accounting to support those purchases. And I think it's important, let me give you some statistics here. If you look at the volume increase in terms of what the Business Services Division has been doing, or the agency has been doing, 91-93 biennium, there were 106 contracts, there were 3 procurements, and there were 765 purchases, so for a total of 875 specific, acts. Purchases, if you call them that. Then in 97-99, we had 106 contracts in 91-93. We had 256 contracts in 97-99. We had 80 procurements, which are basically you put out requests for proposal or, it's not just buying pencils, it's asking people to respond to specific requests. So we had 3 procurements in 91-93, we had 80 procurements in 97-99, and we had 2,326 purchases. And that's because of a lot of increase in information systems development and buying things to support all of that. So you basically have an increase in that time period of 304%. That's what the proposal is to get an additional person in there working with the Business Services Division. There's a number of things that the division has not had the staffing to do that they would like to do that this position would make possible. One is develop a pamphlet on how to do business with the Secretary of State. This document would help vendors proposing to do business with the Secretary of State, and our hope is to have this as hard copy as well as accessible on the web. And the other thing that we would like to do but haven't been able to do is to post all the formal and informal solicitations on the web. By having solicitations available through the website, we plan to increase the availability of information to the vendors that we do business with, and it would reduce the mailing costs of solicitation. So it would be a more effective way to put that information out there. Now, this package is funded by the classic split of general fund, other fund. The $30,666 general fund and $110,192 other funds. And as you know even better than I, the governor's recommended budget is asking for a general fund reduction, and we're dealing with that. So we're proposing that the $30,000 general fund be moved to other funds. And the division really does... the division really believes that can be justified in that the major percentage of our contracts that this position would be responsible for are for the other funded divisions of the agency. So that's a proposal we made right at the beginning in terms of how we saved some general fund, and I just wanted to explain it a little further. The other pop is we're going to... Is here we are back to POP 172 again. We'll show you all of 172 in one sheet later this morning. But basically, the proposal for business services is to create an integrated financial management system. And what that does is integrate multiple sources of payments into a central system, and it creates a single database linked to all the applications that accept payments. So it's really creating an integrated financial management system. That's 350,000 other funds. So that's this division, and I've got Gene here with me to answer questions if you have any.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bradbury. Gene, would you like to, any questions before Gene begins her testimony?
Well, Madam Chair, excuse my mirth, but I was tickled at the semantics. What I heard was that by changing the name of the money from general funds to other funds, we somehow saved general funds. It's my understanding that those are just general funds that come through another agency that they bill. Am I wrong on that?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, members of the committee, a portion of those other funds would come from general fund. The audits division, we estimate about 30 to 40% of its revenue, 30% roughly, comes from general fund sources. The other portion of it, that portion which would be assigned to corporation division, is truly other funds, because that would be from filing fees and the like. So it's a portion of that transfer, yes, is general fund, but to specifically identify an amount, we've used a rule of thumb of 30%. I think because of the split here between corporations and audits division, it would be something less than 30%.
Representative Butler?
Thank you. In that regard, if these were then taken, if this $30,676 was taken from some other fund generated by the Secretary of State's office, then basically that would leave less of that other fund available to contribute towards general fund, would it not?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, and members of the committee, effective July 1st of this year, there are no more transfers out of Secretary of State to the general fund. That was part of the package that reduced all the corporation filing fees. There were prior to the end of this biennium, transfers of roughly about $10 million per biennium out of corporation division into the general fund. When the legislature passed the bill that dramatically restructured or changed corporation filing fees and business registration fees, it did so with the full knowledge that the general fund would lose that $10 million. So in this budget, there is no loss of transfer to the general fund. So that the reduction or the additional cost of other funds doesn't correspond to a related reduction of a transfer
to the
general fund, yes.
Oh, Madam Chair.
Representative Hayden.
To continue my thought, looking at the Business Services Division budget, it appears like it's 13% more than last year's budget and 6.2% above current service level. And I just note that in view of the attention we've been paying to other budgets.
What page are you on?
I'm on page 103 of the big book.
Madam Chair.
Representative Butler.
I have a question with regard to policy option package 141. In the narrative of 141, and based upon some of the testimony that's been offered here today, the taking care of the Blue Book sales and then the supporting the purchasing and contract functions, also in the agency's other work areas, including contracting for all divisions and risk management. It just appears in that purpose section on page 100 of the large book, it just appears to me that procurement unit, the Business Services Division procurement unit, replicates a lot of the services that we have authorized in our Department of Administrative Services, print, purchase, and other functions in that particular budget. And I'm wondering why Blue Book sales couldn't be shifted over to the printing and purchasing division, and why procurement, and I mean, we even teach a college course, for goodness sakes, in the procurement end of it. How much of this purchasing, contracting for procurement, and risk management couldn't be moved over to the Department of Administrative Services and their functions? Is there duplication of functions, I guess, is the question I have.
Good morning. Do you want to introduce yourself for the record, Jean?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, for the record, I'm Jean Straighten. I'm the Director of the Business Services Division.
Mm-hmm.
We do work with the Department of Administrative Services on their purchasing, but they do not do purchasing for divisions in the way that we do it for our divisions. Almost all of the agencies have some type of purchasing unit, and that's the functions that we do. DAS oversees the overall 279, ORS 279 for the purchasing. That's the ORS that governs purchasing. And we work with them on some contracts, but we do, they don't have enough staff to do the work that we have done. So we have our own internal people that work with them.
And then what about the printing?
We work with, Madam Chair, we work with purchasing, the publishing. That's where we order them from them, and we have to write up our orders, and they do our printing, and we do order it from them. But the purchasing that you're seeing here is our work to order letterhead, cards, and that's the printing. We use their services to do our printing.
And this, there's so much more printing that we're talking about, an additional $141,000. Is that in the next biennium?
It's not just, well, a lot of our additional purchasing, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, Representative Butler, a lot of our additional purchasing is the professional services that we are doing because of our information systems and our building new databases. We are doing a large number of formal procurements, which are RFPs, requests for proposals. These are contracts for programmers, consultants to come in and help us write programs. And that's a large part of what's been increasing, and those are much more complex, take a lot more time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I beg your pardon. I'm stepping totally outside protocol by trying to ask questions while Gina's making her presentation without going through the chair. I do beg your pardon.
No, that's fine.
So a portion of the $141,000 is for professional services for information technology. And is that what you're saying, Jean?
No. Madam Chair, Representative Butler, no. That is the portion, that is for a position, one position, with some, that's the cost of a biennium for one position, and then the services and supplies that go along with a position when you hire a new person, you know, so it would include getting them a computer, making sure they have a desk, that type of thing. And then the work that they would be doing would be working with our IS on those program option packages and other contracting needs. We work with audits. We contract quite a few audits. And so this person would be working on the formal contracting request for proposal.
So this would be, Madam Chair, follow up.
Yes, please.
This would be... one addition, let's see, we have grant contract purchaser 3 and a purchaser 2, and this is a grant contract purchaser 3, purchaser 2, accountants 1, 2, and 3, accountants 1, 2, and 3. I'm looking to find out which person this is. I'm from the 99 to the 01.
On the organizational chart?
Yeah, on the organizational chart on page 66 and 65. Just trying to identify that position.
Can't say Principal Executive Manager D.
Okay, Principal Executive Manager D. And there's one before and there's one after. I've got a Principal Executive Manager D and 9901. Oh, I see. Okay. So there's another, and that Principal Manager Executive D, and I'm not sure what class we're talking about, at $141,000 over the 2-year period, that's about a $50,000, $49,000 base salary.
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, that would be pretty close. I would have to check, and we budget at the second step, that's the budget policy to do that, and I would have to check to see what that number is, but that sounds very close. There's just a small, there's also a small portion for services and supplies in there also.
Yeah, I've only reduced it by 30% for overhead and supplies. But it, and this is an executive position, a manager, principal executive manager position D that's being added that hasn't been, you have someone working out of class doing some of this work now?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, no, we do not right now. Currently, I am the person that helps with this function. We have a contracts officer, and she is responsible for many of the procurements, and as she cannot handle, you know, as the workload has steadily increased, we do have a purchase of three that tries to help out, and then I am also the backup that does formal procurement.
Thank you very much.
Yes, Representative Butler, any further questions for committee? Jean, do you have any further testimony you'd like to share or anything?
No.
Is this your first time to testify?
Yes.
Oh, you've done a good job. We're not mean.
Ben's in the...
But we're curious. Madam Chair, Jean Strait is now the, moved to her being the director of the Business Services Division, and she's a great, we love working with her.
Good.
She's a great addition.
My sister has the job of purchasing in a large company, and she shares with me a lot of times the huge responsibility it is, so I appreciate what you have to do. Thank you. Next, we'll have the review of the Information Systems Division. I assume that we were not able to have Representative Hill come.
Oh, that is correct, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, do you want to just do a real quickie on personnel, because...
Oh, I'm sorry, did I skip over one? I sure did.
Whenever you want to do it.
I had them listed in alphabetical order.
Okay.
Let's do the personnel then, that's fine.
Because our Director of Personnel, Bev Mix, is not able to be here, so it's a quickie.
Okay, let's do that then.
Madam Chair, with, basically, wanted to talk about the Personnel Division, it's three FTE, we have no POPs in front of you relating to personnel. Basically, the Personnel Division provides the things that a Personnel Division provides, human resource services, advice and assistance, and the interpretation and application of state and federal laws and policies, and the Secretary of State's personnel policies. They maintain complete and confidential personnel records, and they basically have to monitor human resource management activities in the agency. And they do things like recruitment of new employees, discipline and grievance, employee orientation and benefits, employee records. And they serve all the employees of the agency, and as I said, they do so with three FTE, and they're funded with a general fund, other fund split. And it's basically, it's an assessment process used to calculate the split between general and other fund based on the division count in the various divisions. So, that's my report on the Personnel Division.
Okay, great. Are there any questions on the Personnel Division?
Sure.
Representative Butler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With no policy option packages in the Personnel Division, no material changes, perhaps we could have a brief explanation with the relative to the budget number on page 187 with a 16.4% increase and the change of the positions. Is that position adding, is it one position that's added? Is that what I see? Because it started off at two, and it looks like that there's a base budget adjustment of one position in the current adjustment to come up to current service level.
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, I'll answer that for you. We had a, I think it was in last biennium or the biennium before, we had a limited duration position for personnel. That position, of course, went away, and we were able to do a permanent financing plan to give them a permanent position, which is we took a half a position from corporation and a half a position from the audits division and made one position in our personnel unit so that they would have three FTEs. And that is the increase that you're seeing there.
That then, Madam Chair, that then represents the 16.4% increase of the full-time position that's being added from, see, it indicates positions administrative e-board and phase in or phase out, in this case we phase in, is, and that was previously approved as a temporary position.
Chair Representative Butler, yes. I don't remember exactly what biennium that was, but it was a limited duration. I think it was in the biennium before this one, and it phased out last biennium, and then we found the need that we needed that FTE in the Personnel Resources Division, and so we did a permanent financing plan within last biennium to increase their FTE.
What does a permanent financing plan mean?
Oh, Madam Chair, Representative Butler.
I know what it means when I buy a car.
Yeah. What it means is the agency found within its existing budget and personnel numbers the funding to add by, in this case, doing away with a position in another division and effectively moving that position authorization and funding to this division. It's called permanent financing. It's allowed in, I believe, in the laws and rules, but they have to prove out that this does not increase your base budget. In other words, if you've got this programmed position funding, then you can use it and transfer it, positions between divisions, or to a lesser extent, we'll find services and supplies. Generally, with permanent funding for a position, they'll transfer positions. In this case, it was out of audits division.
Madam Chair, Dallas, I think that it was, if I'm remembering right, half of a position came from audits and half of it came from corporations, is what I'm remembering. Mr. Hayden?
Well, that was my question, Madam Chair. The change from 2 to 3 with no program option package to do that. And so my second, having had that explained, my second question would be, will there then be a request, without going through a lot of paperwork here, you should know, will there be a request to replace the half position in corporations and replace the half position in audits, or will the staffing levels stay the same as they are?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, no, we do not have any plans to increase the FTE in audits or corporations.
Okay, thank you.
And that's consistent with the budget.
Yes.
Okay, further questions?
But there is a policy option package in audits to add to. I guess there's a subtraction of 2 based upon a phase out of last biennium as well. So there's a phase out of 2 and then a policy option package to add to bring it back to what it was.
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, the 2 that are proposed are the 2 that we proposed to add limited duration that were to provide assistance for municipal audits. And I have to say again that we've offered that up as something that we're not pursuing. We've offered that up as a way to not to reduce our impact on the general fund.
That's right. It does show withdrawn policy option. That's a policy option package 131 withdrawn, but I still end up with 80 employees going from 80 with the 2 that were phased out would have been 78, but then adding 2 back it leaves me at 80 employees in the audits division. And my notes indicate that that was for that comprehensive analysis for efficiencies of the CAFE program. And those were limited duration positions that have been withdrawn.
If I may, Madam Chair, Representative Butler, the two positions that were submitted and requested were professional auditors to and CPA types to advise municipalities. I believe the position that was transferred was an administrative one, a vacant administrative position. The CAFE is, if I remember correctly, an acronym from the Automated Risk Assessment System.
To follow on to the Automated Risk Assessment, Madam Chair, Representative Butler, CAFE is, I can't remember what it stands for. I suppose I should be fined for that, but it's basically a follow on to the Automated Risk Assessment System to make the information accessible to other people on the web. I mean, it's a way to make use of the information that we load into the database for the risk assessment. It's a way to provide that, make that accessible to people.
Do I understand then that policy option package 131 by the Audit Division is in fact withdrawn? Is that?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, members of the committee, for purposes of the committee, we are dealing with the governor's recommended budget, which has it in there. Your staff's recommendation is going to be to not fund this package entirely, and the Secretary of State has already said that they would be willing not to have that. So we were looking at the 78 positions.
Well, Madam Chair, Mr. Administrator, it would seem as, you know, as a matter of good stewardship that if the agency felt that they didn't need those half positions in those two divisions and transferred them to another one, if the workload didn't justify those half positions in corporations and audit, that we wouldn't be adding more staff back at this time. So I'm hearing that we're not doing it.
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, members of the committee, that is correct. In the divisions that gave them up, they are not adding them back. And that's one of the things that legislative fiscal office is keenly aware of and tries to keep on top of when agencies do this, that it's not an administrative action to establish a position somewhere and then in the subsequent budget request they ask, well, we need this position back where we gave it up from. So we try very hard to discourage that and work with agencies to prevent that.
Further questions, Representative Butler?
I guess I'll just wait until I see the walk relative to the policy option package 131 to see how it is withdrawn, because I do show that at this particular time that the two positions are still there, and I guess it's at legislative fiscal office that we're withdrawing those two positions. And then basically what's happened is that, as I see it, we're adding one of the positions that had been a temporary position that previously, I guess it was a one-and-a-half position, full-time equivalency. A portion of that, at least half of that, from what Zena's indicated, is coming into the personnel resources division. So we'll just follow that at that point. I think I can call it easier on the walk when we get to that point.
And we'll go over this with Dallas before we get this budget form.
Yes.
So, if not, I think that's any other further questions? Okay. Then we'll proceed to the Information Systems Division budget, and we have to go about 20 minutes, and then we'll have a break.
I understand. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And by the way, since you didn't know what CAFE stood for, you're running out of money now.
I got it. There's two rules in this committee. One is don't use acronyms, but by golly, know what the acronyms stand for if you do.
If you paid ahead to use them, you sure know what they stand for. You might even do double for your money or something. Go ahead, Mr.
Smith. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm joined by Scott Smith, who is the director of the Information Systems Division of the Secretary of State's agency. And everything that you've heard in the last 3 days from the other divisions relating to their successes and also their goals in terms of program option packages and the like really relies on the Information Systems Division. As I said on Monday, our public and our private customers are becoming more sophisticated in their use of information, and we've got to become more sophisticated in our provision and use of information as we distribute the information that the Secretary of State's agencies have. And the Information Systems Division is the group that's primarily responsible for implementing my vision for a very electronic, public, user-friendly Secretary of State's office. Now, what the division provides are centralized information management and technology services, not just programming, and I think that's a key point. These services include a wide range of agency-wide functions, including the help desk that get all the different employees of the Secretary of State's agency can call the help desk, get help, get their questions answered. It's kind of like an in-house 800 number, except that it doesn't require calling an 800 number, and you don't have to wait anywhere near as long. But they also deal with email, website administration, backing up various data files, system security, and then also, obviously, hardware and software installation. So it's a pretty full-service information services division. And they really pride themselves on installing that infrastructure in the agency at a very minimal cost. And what we see is the basically the technical support analysts work with the business services division to determine the best cost and value when they're looking at these this equipment. And this includes the use of the Department of Administrative Services master contracts. We do internet price comparison by going on to various sites and also use of technical discussion groups. And we also obviously leverage better prices through quantity purchasing. The division does, in fact, buy very quality hardware for the agency. And what that does is if you get quality hardware, for people to use in the agency, it reduces the amount of IS division staff time spent supporting the hardware, and it also reduces professional staff downtime. So if you get good hardware to start with, you don't have to spend a lot of money maintaining it, and you don't have to have a lot of time where people are twiddling their fingers. And it really does have, it has a healthy side benefit, and that is that you really dramatically increase employee satisfaction working in our agency, and that's true both for the staff at IS and the professional staff that uses the computers throughout the agency. The other thing that's really interesting is that IS has basically adopted some standard software development tools and development processes that allow us to make changes to applications really quickly. There's some remarkable developments that have taken place in terms of some tools you can now get to really adjust your software. And the best way to explain it is the changes that used to take a day or longer to make in software can now be done in 5 to 10 minutes with the new tools. So it's really great to have that kind of ability. Now, when we look at what kind of performance program performance measures we have in IS, we've got statistics on the division performance are collected by the help desk software. There's software that's part of the help desk that collects information, and it's reported monthly to the division companies on to division customers on the agency intranet site, so you can really sort of we keep track of how those are going. And during the biennium, local area networks, the LAN services, and the Oracle database have experienced consistently high levels of system availability. In other words, they don't crash. The Oracle database has been operational 100% of the time for the election system. It's been operational 99% of the time for the deposit interface system and 99% of the time for the corporation's division's uniform commercial code system. So that's a very good track record. And if you look at what they've really accomplished in the last 2 years, I think a lot of us have sort of forgotten, but do we remember Y2K?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was a major effort that the agency undertook, given all the information systems we had, and we made it through the year 2000 transition, just like most other people did, effectively without any big problems. They've moved a whole bunch, it's not a very scientific word, but a lot of searchable elections and archives data is now online. And they've migrated the mainframe Berry business entity registration information, the Berry application. They've migrated the database, and now that service is available online. And I have to say that the migration of the Berry database, when you've got an old mainframe database that people would constantly make little tweaks to say, well, let's have this little field be used to say, well, if we put a 3 in there, it means that they're located in Salem. I mean, just all these little things that happen to a database over time, and we successfully, the Information Services Systems Division successfully migrated that database. And it's really, we're having a party later today in my office to celebrate, because it's really something I think we're very proud of. Now, in terms of funding and staffing issues, it's real clear that state salaries are not competitive with private sector salaries in the information services systems area. We know that. And that makes it difficult to hire personnel experienced with the agency hardware, software, architecture. It makes hiring and retaining personnel an interesting challenge. And basically, the division requires training and professional services allocations to provide for training of new hires and for hiring external consultants when specific technical skill sets are needed. But the continuous and rapid changes in the technology dictate continuing training and education for all the staff. And that's a real key to retaining staff, is to provide them with ongoing training and upgrading of skills as they're continuing to work for the state. So that is a very natural transition to the first program option package I want to talk about, which is Program Option Package 171, which basically relates to a reclass of 6 positions in the division and 2 new FTEs in the division.
171 is 2 FTEs, is that right?
It's 2 FTEs. It's been, the package has been revised since the governor's recommended budget was printed due to a consultant report. It's 2 FTE and reclass of 6 other positions. And I want to just talk for a minute about why that's come forward. We had a consultant really look at the workplace environment and information systems. And basically, the reclasses are basically a key part of the consultant's recommendation to create a more supportive workplace for the staff that's hard to recruit and keep in this environment of private sector being way ahead of the public sector. So that's the package is there, and Scott can talk more fully about the proposed 2 new FTEs.
Good morning, Scott. Go ahead and introduce yourself for the record, and we'll, if you need to go longer than the 10 minutes we have, just I'll stop you and proceed after the break. But go ahead.
Thank you. Madam Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Scott Smith, I am the Information Systems Director and Chief Information Officer for the Secretary of State's office. The two new positions here are the result of a consultant report that we did last fall with the initial idea that we wanted to check our numbers for positions, the number and types of positions that we had within the division to support all the work that is proposed for us next biennium. In that process, they also looked at our management structure. And one of the complaints from, let me back up a little bit and explain that the division has essentially two major sections. One is the technical support group that provides the desktop level and infrastructure support for the agency. And then there's the systems development group, and that's the group that creates the new applications, new software applications in support of the business. That side has a manager, systems development manager, that allocates the resources amongst all the different projects. On the technical support side, we didn't have that. We don't have that now. One of the complaints from the staff on the technical support side is things are just kind of thrown over the fence to them, and they don't have any way internally for them to manage their own resources and allocate it to all the different projects, requests, help desk, et cetera. The second position is for another help desk position. One of the benefits we provide our employees is an extensive training program and a career planning program. And that's been very successful. That has kept people within the division. They like to see that there are opportunities to move up. That's a big benefit to us. We don't have to go through retraining. We retain all the business knowledge in those people if they stay within the division. The problem we face right now, even in this biennium, is the workload is so high, these folks don't have time to do any training. They don't have any time to develop their own career path. What's more, we're seeing a very steady increase in the number of help desk calls and the complexity of the help desk calls. Now, these, when I say a help desk call, we're not talking about just, well, gee, my screen doesn't come on. We're talking about a steady stream of auditors going out to other agencies and saying, well, you have to prep my laptop so that I can plug into ODOT. Okay, today I'm going over to DHS. You've got to reconfigure my machine to do that. So the number and complexity of the help desk calls are going up. So the consultant recommended that we add another position there to cover the increasing number of help desk calls and give us a little bit of room so these folks can actually do their training and career development.
Thank you. Any questions?
Representative Butler. Madam Chair, thank you very much. So the auditors who go out and plug into the balance of the state's non-uniform system basically are the reason that you're requesting reclass of five and add of five full-time positions?
Madam Chairman, Representative Butler, no, that's not correct. That is the explanation for the one FTE we're adding in POP 171 for the help desk position.
Okay. Okay. So that's a very technical position. It's a fairly high paid technical position then, and that person then is the person who again migrates information back and forth from two different platforms, Secretary of State's platform in relationship to ODOT, and that I assume that's relative to the internal audit function that Secretary of State's doing at ODOT or at Department of Human Services or?
Madam Chairman, Representative Butler, it is in support of that. This position is, the help desk position is an ISS 3. The ISS range, that's Information System Specialist 3, that range goes from 1 to 8, so it's actually just below a mid-level Information System Specialist position.
And again, the question is that's relative to the audit function that the Secretary of State is doing at ODOT to try and make your platform meet their platform?
Madam Chairman, Representative Butler, that is true in a sense. One of the help desk duties is to configure auditors' equipment so that they can plug into other agencies and perform their audit function at that agency.
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, I think Scott was using the audit, making computers talk to each other as an example of the kinds of more complicated requests that are currently coming into the help desk. This position is for the help desk, not just for audits. I mean, I could call the help desk, and I do regularly. So it's for the whole agency, and this position is to enhance the help desk service, which is getting an increasing use. And there's some specific benefits would be like being able to audit more effectively at ODOT.
I have a question, Madam Chair, I guess it'd be the Secretary of State as well as to Dallas. Is there some reason in statute that the Secretary of State can't use the other high-tech people that run around from building to building, including here in the Capitol or in other places? Is there some reason why the whole cadre of folks that we've got that help configure computers and so forth can't be used? Is it because the statutory nature of the Secretary of State's office in relationship to, in other words, we've got a lot of these folks around, and maybe not enough is what you're saying, or do you presently use some of those that are being used in the assembly during 6 months out of 2 years?
Madam Chairman, Representative Butler, I'll take a stab at that. Every time one of our folks needs to connect to another agency, they, of course, contact the folks. For example, if they need information from legislative administration, they will contact legislative administration to make those connections. I think what we're finding, this is just purely personal opinion and observation on my point, throughout the state, all these agencies are feeling the same pressure we are. We have more sophisticated requests from the public. The complexity of the systems we're dealing with is going up. There's not a lot of extra talent out there that we can use.
I appreciate what the complexity and the demand. My question, I guess, I'm not saying it very well, but in the Department of Administrative Services, we have the Information Management Resource Division. Do we call upon those folks to assist us, or is there some statutory preclusion because of the nature of the Secretary of State's office being autonomous?
Madam Chairman, Representative Butler, there is no statutory control over how we use our information technology personnel. We do regularly deal with DAS IRMD. I'm an ex-IRMD employee myself. For this type of activity that we're talking about, help desk, both agency-wide and targeted at connecting to specific agencies, is not a service that's provided by DAS at this point.
They don't have anyone at this level?
No, they have an internal help desk support for DAS, but they don't provide that service to other agencies.
Right.
It's also it's an efficiency question as well. When the auditor is given the task to go to another agency, they don't want a two-day turnaround time to wait for an external help desk. They want to bring that laptop down today, right now, get that change done, and get out the door.
So DAS, the Department of Administrative Services, has one of these type of people that are available, but not, and that's who you've been using in the past to help with this?
Madam Chairman, Representative Butler, no, their people are booked solid.
Okay.
Absolutely booked solid. We have one help desk position right now, and they're slowly but steadily being swamped.
And this person hires in at the same level as this other person, or a step below, or something?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
So if I heard you correctly, you do work with DAS and information technology, IMRD or whatever. You consult with them on your system and that type of thing.
Madam Chairman, that is correct.
I guess my big concern is making sure we aren't where we were 8 years ago, that we don't have systems talking to one another.
It sounds like we're there, though. You know, I mean, if one platform won't communicate with another, and we've got to have a $219,000 expenditure for additional staff person, because we need to have those platforms communicate, or the help desk, I guess, in part, a portion of it is that they're not communicating, but the other is a help desk, is a second person at the help desk. It sounds like that we still have continued, and then I guess we'll take counsel from Representative Hill's subcommittee in that regard, too.
Madam Chair, I think part of what this information systems budget really represents is the increasing reliance that certainly the Secretary of State's agency is placing on technology and on the, I mean, you see that, and basically as you do that more and more, you've got to have a good system in place, and we're real proud of information systems. In this agency, you've got to have a good system in place to both keep it running and make sure that we're making the appropriate investments in upgraded systems. So that, and I think it's, we should take a break, and then I'll come back and present to you the final package, which I've already talked about in bits and pieces.
172. We will take a break, and we'll look forward to hearing about that.
Okay.